you would, grab a copy of Scripture with me as we look together to God's Word of Life. We're going to look at Proverbs this morning, chapter 20. If you're using the Bible provided for you, it should be on page 658. So I encourage you to turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. And these are the Proverbs of Solomon, who is the son of King David, king of Israel. First verse, first chapter tells us that Solomon and that they were given so that we might know wisdom and that we might know instruction and receive that instruction, that we might live in wise behavior and righteousness and justice and equity. And then verse 7 tells us in the first chapter that through this fear and reverence and all of God himself that we begin to grow, that we begin to have minds that know God, that leads to a heart willing, that loves God, and that lives that submit to God, would live lives and have a will that submits to God. And to live for God. So in our passage this morning in Proverbs chapter 20, we will learn how to apply the wisdom of God to lead us in living a life of godliness. Where we seek to be men and women, boys and girls of integrity for the glory of God. So look with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. All flesh is like grass, grass withers. Flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please join me as we ask for his help this morning. Our faithful Father, you call all of these scriptures, all of your holy scriptures, as one book to be written for our instruction. So we pray that you would grant by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would in such a way truly hear with ears of faith, that we would read with eyes, that you give us to truly behold your glory, that we would note, learn, cherish your word, and that by the conviction and comfort that your word brings to us, we pray that we would grasp and hold fast to the hope of everlasting life which you have given to us through our Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. If I told you someone I knew was a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer, would you agree with me? That this person probably wouldn't be known for their integrity. They wouldn't come up in conversation, and this person known for this thing would be known for their integrity. But Scripture records for us that David committed these sins. King David was a liar in some part of his life, an adulterer, murderer. Yet God himself describes to Solomon that King David is a man of integrity. God said this about David in 1 Kings 9. Not because David was perfect. David was described as a man of integrity because God showered his grace upon David. Granted him repentance and faith. And over the course of David's life, he became a model of integrity for Solomon, and even for us today, because he became growing in his faith, and he lived with a mind that was committed to God's truth. He lived with a heart forgotten a love for God. And we see that he had a will that wanted to follow God's commands and live a godly life. And so by that, we see David's example as a man of integrity, not of perfection, but of integrity.
And this is one of the big ideas I want us to look at this morning, is the life of integrity, the importance of that as Christians, and how God helps us and instructs us to live a life of integrity.
But first, before we do that, I want us to think about the word integrity.
If I were to ask you, what does integrity mean?
Maybe they've never heard of it before. How would you describe it?
How would you define it?
Or maybe it might be easier if you know a common person that you trust. And who's somebody you both look up to.
You can kind of look to that person as a description of what a person with integrity looks like.
I think most of us would agree that integrity is an aspect of your character where what you say and what you do is consistent.
You're an honest person, you're a person of integrity, you commit to something, then you look at that person with integrity, then you're going to trust that they're going to get it done.
But I will submit to you that it's not merely consistency between your words and your actions.
We see in Scripture God honoring integrity is this.
Not only will you seek to live a life that's consistent with your words and your actions, but God honoring integrity is seeking to live a life of consistency according to God's will.
Verses 6 and 7 in our passage this morning is a contrast between this hypocritical man, this ungodly man, this unwise man, and a person of integrity, verse 7, a righteous man who walks according to his integrity.
So God honoring integrity is consistently plus a mind committed to God's truth, a heart of love for God, and a will that strives for godliness.
So the main idea I want to see this morning is that because the Spirit of God enables us as Christians to live lives of godliness,
you and I are to communicate with integrity.
When I say communicate, I mean your words and your actions.
Your words and your actions, because your behavior communicates something along with your words.
Because the Spirit of God empowers you for a life of godliness, you are to seek to communicate with integrity.
One of the first ways we communicate with integrity is kind of in contrast to verse 6. Don't communicate with integrity by being a hypocrite.
We are to communicate with integrity instead of hypocrisy.
And then in verse 7, I'd like for us to look once we get there, you're to communicate with integrity for the sake of others.
But first, I want to look at verse 6, where it says, you are to communicate with integrity instead of hypocrisy.
Many of us have friends who haven't held fast to their word.
Maybe you have a friend that you love, but maybe he's just not the most person that you would trust his word.
He has good intentions, but doesn't always prioritize faithfulness to his word.
Maybe we've been that person.
Verse 6 kind of describes this person in the sense that we might proclaim or say something, but not ultimately follow through on it. Man proclaims his own loyalty, but then the Proverbs ask, who can find a trustworthy man?
It's easy to use words to say, yeah, I'm trustworthy, I'm a faithful friend.
And once it's kind of easy to get up in a wedding and say vows. Yes, I promise to be this person to love and cherish and do all these wonderful things to this person I love.
Maybe it's a temptation to do that in a church. You're on fire for the Lord and you come up to join and have church vows and promise to study the peace and purity of the church.
It's easy in one sense to claim your own loyalty. But when the rubber meets the road, two, three, four, six months later, a year later in your marriage, when things actually get tough,
Integrity shines through when you are consistent with your word. You show integrity not only in the good things you commit to, but by your actions. The definition of a hypocrite is where you claim one thing, but you do something else. You don't meet the standard that you commit to. And as Christians, hypocrisy is particularly sinful because we stand out as examples to people in the world who are supposed to be faithful to our word. But because mankind is sinful, this verse is highlighting how truly common it is, how pervasive it is to find people who are not faithful. And as Christians, we are to be that rare and good and beautiful jewel of a person who is trustworthy, who is known for your integrity. What you say matches what you do. You seek to have God-honoring integrity where you are committed to His truth, to your mind. You have a heart that loves God, and you have a will that strives for godliness, and you can see it in your life. Many of you, I think maybe I've said it at some point. Hey, do as I say, but not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do. I think this is maybe a saying of a hypocrite in one sense. Maybe there's certain situations where it's appropriate, but some of the times motivation is, hey, I want to do what I want to do, but you know, I know the right thing to do. Just listen to my instruction, but just don't watch how I'm training you how I live my life. Do as I say, not as I do. Hypocrisy is at its root dishonest and deceptive. And sadly, it's oftentimes rare to find someone who talks the talk and walks the walk. Whether it's a friend or a co-worker or a family member. But as Christians, we are to be that jewel of integrity. We are called to be royal ambassadors. We are called to be representative of God and His integrity to this world. We observe, others observe how we walk, how we speak, how we live our lives. We represent the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God Himself to others. And this particularly applies to us as parents. It's difficult. It's probably easier to be a person of integrity when you go to work and you see a few people for a few hours and then you come home and you're tired. Guess when it's more challenging to be a person of integrity? When you're tired and sleepy and hungry, and your patience is tested, or whatever else, and your children often see the worst sides of us. But God desires for us to communicate with our words and our lives, with integrity, as His representative. God calls us as parents to be representative of Him, of His character, of His instruction, of His example, to our children. As Christian parents, we reflect either negatively or positively upon God. And one of our primary tasks as parents is to glorify God through our parenting and not only teaching our children about God and His will, which is hard enough, right? But also being an example of godliness for them. Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 6, these are great passages that provide this instruction for us. Many Proverbs, son, listen to my instruction. We could cover. But maybe look in your life. Do you instruct others, maybe if you're not a parent? You encourage others maybe not to gossip. Or you told your children not to gossip, but then maybe a few hours later, when you think they might be in bed, you kind of gossiping behind their back. Were you instructing them to be kind? Well, you are one of the most harsh people in their lives. You instruct them to be patient? Well, by your example, you show your impatience day out, day in. Or faithfulness, you promise to do something, but you fall through on it. Or maybe even you show more grace to yourself than you do to others. If you want to communicate with your mouth and your life with integrity rather than hypocrisy, Ask yourself, where in my life are my actions not lining up with my speech? Better yet, maybe ask your wife or your husband or a trusted friend. Well, oftentimes they can see, you know, spots of our sin that we're blind to. And can encourage us in our faith, in our proneness to hypocrisy.
Where in my life are my standards that I hold for others? Am I not trying to seek myself?
I'm not trying to be myself. I'm holding others to a higher standard than I am myself.
Or are those standards less than what God requires of us?
Maybe you compare your children to other children and say, hey, you're not as bad as Joe down the street. One of the beauties of having our standard conform to God's holiness, his morality, his will, his standard, his law as our standard, the beauty of God's standard is that it humbles us. It humbles us. It humbles our children. It's a standard we can't fulfill perfectly. It leads us to recognize our need for Christ. If we have a morality that we're teaching our children that's less than what God requires of us, it might be a standard we can meet. It might be a standard that doesn't truly show us our sin. It just kind of makes us a little bit better than the next person. To where if your child meets your standard, I don't need a Savior. I'm a perfectly obedient child because my mom tells me not to hit, and I don't hit, or whatever it is. Those are good things, but our ultimate standard is what God's will is for us. Are we seeking to worship Him and Him alone? Are we seeking to honor the Sabbath day? Are we seeking to not covet, but be grateful what God has for us? Looking to God's law as a standard for what we are to love, what we are to do for ourselves and for our children. The beauty of God's standard is that it humbles us and it leads us to Christ. Because it shows us our sin, it shows us our need for a Savior, and we have a promise of salvation because Christ has met that standard for us. We are saved by grace, through faith, in the promises of God. And then when your child fails, guess what? It's an opportunity for the gospel. It's an opportunity to show forgiveness. If you fail, it's an opportunity to show repentance. You can be a person of integrity even when you sin by showing repentance and faith in God. And seeking to continually grow in holiness. God, the beauty of God's standard is that it humbles us, it points us to Christ, but also, as Christians, it's a guide for us. If God's my Father and He wants me to please Him, how is He just leaving me in the dark? No, He gives us His Word. He gives us His law. Love me above all else. Be committed to me. Love your neighbor. That's the sum of the law, but we have all parts of Scripture can inform us of how God wants us to think, what He wants us to love, what He wants us to do. So it's the standard that God has for us is beautiful and that it leads us to life instead of being content in our own sinfulness. But it also is a guide for us in the Christian life. And when you fail to live up to God's will, because it is perfect, it shows us God's perfection and His character, and it shows us our flaws and our sin. We as parents, or if you're not a parent, this still applies to you, we as students, or we as grandparents, or we as co-workers, when we fail to live up to God's will, we can be an example of integrity even in our repentance. David is a prime example of this. David was confronted with his sin and repented and turned and fled to God in faith. When you fail, you're to be an example of integrity even through your repentance. When others fail to live up to God's law, we as parents or others can be an example of integrity even in our forgiveness. The hypocrite says, you sin against me too much. I can't forgive you. But when we sin against someone else, we expect them to forgive me. We can be examples of integrity even in our forgiveness of those who sin against us. We can be representatives of God even in our forgiveness and repentance. If you strive to communicate with integrity instead of hypocrisy, if you're a Christian, you represent God to those around you. And in living a life of integrity, you become known as a person who keeps their word, a person who follows through on promises, a person seeking to keep the standard that you hold other people to. And in your integrity, you're a reflection upon God and his integrity. Because you are his representative. You are a Christian. Although we're imperfect, others will come to know something of God in the way we live our life. Do you keep your word? God, through you, shows others that he keeps his word. If you keep your promises, then we can see a reflection of something of God. Your God must keep his promises. Our prayer is that when unbelievers hear the promises of God, of forgiveness of sin, of a restored relationship with God through Christ, your life of integrity communicates, both in what you say and what you do, a testimony of God's integrity. How God is trustworthy. How God is faithful. How God is dependable. By God's grace, how can you seek to communicate both with your lips and your life with integrity instead of hypocrisy as God's representative to your children, to your grandchildren, to those around you? Many a man, verse 6 says, proclaims his own loyalty, his own faithfulness. He proclaims it. But who can find a trustworthy man? Secondly, we want to communicate with integrity for the sake of others. We see this in verse 7. Righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. A righteous man is a man who lives by faith in God's promises, who seeks to obey God and his will. This man or woman, this boy or girl, demonstrates his faith by how he lives. Walking with integrity, walking in integrity. This verse is an answer to verse 6. At the end of verse 6, it says, who can find a trustworthy man? Question. Verse 7. Shows you how you can be that trustworthy person. The hypocrite says, do as I say, not as I do. But the righteous man of integrity says, do as I say, and even do as I do. Look to me as an example of what integrity looks like. The second part of this verse tells us that parents who live in the way of integrity are a blessing from God to their children. Blessed are his sons after him, this man of righteousness, this woman of righteousness. Some of you can relate to this. Maybe you had parents who were a blessing to you and their example of godliness, their example of integrity to you, that you could hear them teach about God and his will, but you could see them actively looking in their life, how they, even when they mess up, how they sin, how they repent, how they provide forgiveness for other people, how they rely upon the forgiveness of God. And that's God's blessing to you. And you can pass that blessing on to others. God blesses us so that we might be a blessing to those around us. He told Abraham that, and we are to continue that, that we might be a blessing in the gospel, in the proclamation of salvation, but even in our Christian life, and setting an example for others of integrity.
We see this with King David and Solomon again. Solomon had the blessing of David in the sense that David sinned. But he lived a life of integrity and growing and seeking to have a mind committed to God's truth, a heart out of love for God, and a will that seeks to live a life of godliness. Solomon had that blessing. Solomon was charged by God to continue that on, to be a man committed to God's law, particularly as a king, and the influence that that brings upon people in the kingdom. Solomon did great things. God did great things through Solomon. He built a temple. He was the most wise man. He had great wealth. But we see Solomon turn away from God and his disobedience toward the end of his life that didn't bring blessing to his sons through his example. Solomon had hundreds of wives. And on top of that, these wives were unbelievers who led him astray to worship other gods. Instead of blessing, Solomon brought the discipline of God upon his kingdom, upon Israel, because he turned from God. If he had had a life of integrity, we see in this Proverbs, that's a blessing. But then a life turning from God strips away that blessing from his children. What if he had remained faithful to God? What if he had acted in integrity? What if Solomon had been more like Christ, who is the example of the only perfectly righteous man who ever lived in perfect integrity? He would have been a blessing to his children, both in teaching them God's will and in living a godly life. Solomon would have brought blessing. He did in many other areas of his life, but when it came to this, in this season of his life, he did not bring blessing by his example. But praise be to God that he sent his son to provide us with blessing. Jesus, because he was the only perfectly righteous man who ever lived with perfect integrity, he has brought God's blessing to us. Verse 7 says, us who belong to him, forgiveness of sins, the blessing of righteousness, that is not our own, that's imputed to us, given to us by faith, received by faith, the blessing of freedom from sin, the curse of sin, death, suffering, the blessing of a guarantee of resurrection life with God because of his faithfulness. But also what we see in Christ is the blessing of a life worth imitating. Where many figures in the Bible fail in one way or another, Christ is always faithful. He is always our example, to whom we should look, what it looks like to live a life of integrity, both in what we say, what we do, particularly what we see in this verse, for the sake of others. As parents, we are not called to save our children. That's God's job. But we are called to teach our children, to train our children, to be an example for our children, to communicate with integrity for the sake of our children. Through your communication of the law of God, through your communication of the gospel of God, through the communication of a life of integrity, children receive the blessing of an opportunity to know God himself, which is the best blessing you could ever provide for your children. Fellowship with God himself, when it comes through your mouth because of the word of God dwelling in you, and you show it in your life, adds weight to God's word in the sense that they can trust it because they see your example. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. But God calls us to live with integrity because it's a blessing to others.
blessing parents to their children, grandparents to grandchildren, family, friends, even your coworkers receive that blessing. When they see something a little different in the way you react to when things go horribly wrong. We are to strive not only for our children, but for everyone around us to be imitators of God for their sake. And it's, I think it was Harry Reader who had three E's for a healthy church. And I think it applies to us as well as individuals, where we seek to live a life of integrity, a motivation for our life of integrity. And the first E was our motivation for a life of integrity is that we want to live a life exalting God. Exalting God, you're communicating with integrity for the sake of glorifying God most of all. And this leads others. This is a blessing to others. Matthew 5:16 tells us that, hey, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. They may see your integrity and glorify your Father in heaven. Your integrity leads others, hopefully, to exalt God along with you in your obedience to Him and living a life of integrity. So in an ultimate sense, our integrity, our motivation to live a life of integrity is to glorify God, to exalt God. Second E is edification. We're to strive to be imitators of God in lives of integrity and communicating our life and lips for edification, for the good of church body, for the good of those around us. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us to speak the truth in love so that we might grow in unity and in love for one another. We're to edify and serve one another. And this is a motivation for us to live lives of integrity. Not only to exalt God, but to edify one another. But we get so caught up in our own lives that we forget that we're to serve and edify one another. That's God's design for us and His blessing us and sanctifying us, making us more like Christ, is that we might edify and encourage those who are going through trials, praying for them, encouraging them, maybe even in accountability. Edification, growing up in the body of Christ in love. And the third, He is evangelism. You are to communicate with integrity so that others would come to know God's love and grace through you. We've kind of already touched on this. But we are called to be imitators of God as beloved children. We're to be children to our Father. So we seek to imitate Him. Just as Christ loved you, you're walking in love. You're to love as He showed His love for you and gave up Himself for you. So exalting God, the edification of others, and even in our evangelism, it backs up. Hey, those guys are not hypocrites. There's weight and integrity to what they're saying. You want to undermine the gospel through your life. You want to adorn the gospel. You want to make it beautiful in the sense that you show what a transformed life looks like in your showing of grace to others. So ask yourself, in which way am I communicating? Am I seeking to communicate in a way that's in line with God's character? Am I seeking to live a life of integrity for His glory and honor? Am I seeking to live a life of integrity for the good of others? Am I seeking to live a life of integrity so that I might adorn the gospel? So when they hear it from me or somebody else, that I'm not undermining it. But I'm adding to it in the sense that I'm supporting it through the way that I live my life. You are to communicate with integrity the way you speak and the way you live for the sake of others. They might come to know God's blessing through you. That they might know God through you. That you might be an example that others, you wouldn't be ashamed if they followed. You would be an example of godliness. And it takes a disciple to make a disciple. Are you a disciple? You want that for your children, but you're not quite invested in it yourself? You might be saying, Michael, this sounds awesome, but what do I do when I don't measure up? I know I'm hypocritical. I know I'm impatient. I know that I'm prone to do all these things that you just said are bad to do. I've tried this. I failed to measure up to God's standard. I've communicated with hypocrisy instead of truth. The good news is that Jesus is always faithful. We are saved by the work of Christ alone, by grace, through faith in Him. 2 Timothy 2 says that even when we have seasons of faithlessness, Jesus remains faithful. We are united to Him by faith. Paul says, Jesus cannot deny Himself. He remains faithful. God is faithful to His promise of forgiveness and faithful to redeem. Christ is faithful to save, but also to shape us by the power of His Spirit. Charlie's going to turn one this week. Our Christian life is kind of like Charlie trying to walk. He's not so good at it. He's better than he was. But I've heard a teacher of mine kind of talk about the Christian life and growing in integrity and growing in godliness in the sense where the Holy Spirit helps us, the Holy Spirit guides us, the Holy Spirit shapes us to be more like Christ. And it's in the sense Charlie really used to like when we come behind and hold his hands, and he could rely on us to have, you know, balance that he otherwise wouldn't have, and he would learn to walk. I see that as kind of like the Holy Spirit that helps us, strengthen us. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have a Christian walk. But God provides for us the help we need through His Spirit to make us, to help us live lives of integrity when we know we don't measure up. But we can live lives of integrity in the sense where we repent of our sin, where we show forgiveness to others who fail to meet God's standard. In Galatians 5, I feel like I go to it a lot, but it promises that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, lots of wonderful things. But it also says faithfulness. That's in a sense that kind of a summary of integrity is that you are a faithful person. Many a man proclaims his own faithfulness, his own trustworthiness, but a righteous man is he who walks and integrity, and the Holy Spirit brings forth in us as we strive for it, faithfulness for the glory of God, for the good of others, and for the adorning of His gospel. So walking by the Spirit means repenting from our hypocrisy, our double standards, and we are to strive to be like our Heavenly Father who has kept all His promises, who keeps His promises, who is perfectly faithful to His promises. Walking by the Spirit also means to be like Jesus, who is perfectly faithful to His Father's instructions and commands. And with God's help, you and I can strive to be like that righteous man who walks with integrity, Christ Himself, for the glory of God and for the good of those around us. So, as parents, I've known people have done all their best to do this, and have had wayward children. As an encouragement, entrust your children to God. Ultimately, our children are not ours. They're God's, whom we are to steward, to raise as God's means, discipling our children. But no matter what, as you strive and continue to just prayerfully entrust your children to God, God, who is gracious, God, who is loving, God, who is holy, God, who is able to soften even the hardest of hearts through the power of the gospel and the sovereign working of His Holy Spirit. By God's grace, you are to communicate with integrity for the sake of others that you might be a blessing to others for their good and glory of God. All glory and honor be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, ever three and ever one. Please join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you truly are so faithful. You have proven it time and time again in your word. You have proven it time and time again in our lives. So we pray that you would give us what you require of us, that we would walk in a way that's worthy, walk in a way of integrity, walk in a way that glorifies you, that is for the good of those around us, that you would strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to live a life that we aren't ashamed for others to see. That we would be like the Apostle Paul who says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Father, we need your help. We pray for it. We're confident that you give it to all who ask, as you have promised. We pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.